Hello and welcome to the Beating the Statistics podcast. I'm your host, Miles Victors. I'm a health and fitness enthusiast that loves to get into the nitty-gritty of evaluating and developing systems and structures in my life and the lives of my clients that make the healthy choices easier, the unhealthy choices more difficult or unappealing, and creating a lifestyle that promotes a focus on health and fitness long into the future. The Beating the Statistics podcast is focused on helping all students of health and fitness beat the odds when it comes to a lasting change in the realm of weight loss and our fitness goals. Only 3% of those that attempt to reach a healthy weight are successful in the long term. 97% fall short of that mark. My solid belief is that it is because their lives lack the systems necessary to make any change truly lasting or easy to maintain. Having lost over 200 pounds myself after many failed attempts, I've been on this train for a while. I know how much the train tickets cost. I know all the stops. I know where the train needs to slow down or speed up, and so on. I hope to be able to walk you, my listeners, through what I've learned along the way, as well as learn new things with you. So, have a listen, join me on this journey, and I hope you enjoy what you hear. Thank you for being here.
Hey, thank you for tuning into the podcast this week. So today I'm going to talk a little bit and revisit a topic that I previously touched on, but I plan on doing it in a little bit of a different light. So let's talk about benchmarks, challenging yourself, and racing for a minute. I know we previously talked about racing in my Racing and Gratitude podcast episode, but this is going to be a little bit different in that I want to talk to you about it more in the vein of setting benchmarks and challenges. So a really cool thing happens when you start losing weight and accomplishing more physically than you thought you could previously. One of the things that starts happening is you start really enjoying how your body feels and you start surprising yourself at how much you can accomplish. Some of my clients continue to surprise themselves as they push themselves beyond what they previously thought their bodies could do. And they actually find that they enjoy moving in ways they didn't think they would enjoy moving in. Quite often people who would only run if something was chasing them and trying to eat them suddenly enjoy the act of going out for a run. People who typically didn't like sweating or exerting themselves are finding themselves having an intense sense of fulfillment and excitement when they actually can push themselves further than they were able to the previous week or month. So you get into this mode where you start really wanting to start proving how far you can go and what you can do. This is not the case for everybody, but it's the case for, I believe, a majority of people who really start working out and really focusing on enjoying the movements that they're doing. Well, when you start trying to prove how far you can go and what you can accomplish, you're going to find that you want a way to measure yourself and you want a way to continue to prove your improvements. One of the ways to do this is to record your activities and efforts and to set benchmarks for yourself in that manner. Now, there are some really great tools that you can use to do this. Many of you are wearing them right on your wrist right now. Many of you are rocking Garmins or Fitbits, or you're rocking an Apple Watch. A lot of people have Apple Watches out there, and they mainly use them for paying for their Starbucks or a way to read your text messages and emails when they come in, or to remind you of your events that you have going on for the day or whatnot. Well, the great thing is they're also really, really capable fitness trackers. Those who wear Garmins and Fitbits already know this because that's why they bought them, was to track their fitness and activity. One of the cool things they can also do quite often is they have onboard GPSs in them. They are tracking your heart rate over time, so it's not just a step counter. It's also tracking your achievements, your ability to move, your pace, your heart rate, your overall health and fitness. Those are really great tools, and I recommend that everyone has some type of tracking tool that they're able to use to measure their progress. One of the tools that I use mainly, and it's very device or system agnostic, is a tool called Strava. Strava is kind of a social network for athletics. It provides a platform for people who use a variety of different devices and different tracking tools to actually bring their athletic achievements into one central place and to document and record those efforts and to share them with friends and family. I use it a lot. I use it every day. I frequently use it multiple times a day when I'm doing multiple workouts. I also use it to find and view my friends' athletic achievements and cheer them on in the things they're doing. The great thing is it links to a variety of different fitness trackers, from Garmin to Fitbit to Apple Watch to Samsung to Google Fit to all these different tools. Map My Run, Map My Hike, Map My Ride, all these different tools out there will link directly into Strava and kind of be a one-stop source for all of your fitness tracking. The cool thing that it also can do is that if you have no fitness trackers, you don't have a Garmin, you don't have something you wear on your wrist, you can actually just use your phone, and it actually has some onboard GPS tracking tools within the application. This is actually how my brother uses it, and I believe my sister-in-law as well, where they'll go on walks or they'll do rucking activities or they'll go running and they will just start an activity on their phone and that tracks their physical expenditure and their physical efforts. My kids do the same thing when they go on runs with me, is they'll track their runs by using their phone GPS. Now, the phone GPS isn't as accurate as some of these other fitness tracking tools that you wear on your wrist or things that are very, very focused on extremely accurate data, but it frequently is good enough. And I recommend that if you don't have a fitness tracking tool, to start using something like Strava to actually track your efforts and to share them with friends and family. If you pay for the service, and I recommend doing this, and I'll go into a little bit of more detail on why later, but if you pay for Strava, you're also going to get measurements of improvements over time. You can actually track your King of the Mountain or Queen of the Mountain attempts or your segment attempts. Now, King of the Mountain, Queen of the Mountain means the fastest times recorded for any specific segment or path that you can basically repeat over time. So it might be running up a specific hill in your neighborhood that's been documented as a segment, or you can make your own segments. It might be, you know, running the length of a bike path for a mile or two. Anyway, there's a lot of different things called segments out there, and this is not a Strava tutorial, so I'm not going to go into detail about it, but it allows you to track your efforts over these segments. It also is a great place to log all of your activity, so you can get comprehensive logs of your efforts over time. Now, those two features that I just mentioned are largely features that are behind a subscription paywall. And they just recently increased their prices, and a lot of people are really upset about the increase in prices. That said, I actually really recommend that you start paying for services of this nature. And the reason why is I strongly believe it is completely reasonable to invest in things that motivate you to be healthy. One, it puts skin in the game. It actually motivates you to use the tools if you pay for them. It's kind of a mental trick that you can do. In addition to that, it also will pay for the software developers and the tool creators and maintainers to continue to maintain their tools and provide better features over time. These people, this is how they make money, is from subscribers. And so by you paying to help them move forward and to increase their offering, you're hopefully going to get a better and more stable service over time. That's not always true. Sometimes some app creators are just in it for the money and they're not actually maintaining their tools the way they should. But for the most part, I find that when I pay for something, I start seeing dividends in those payments in the form of better, more stable tooling. Now, I'm a subscriber of Strava. I pay for their premium features. Also, your fitness trackers, or not your fitness trackers, but your calorie trackers are likely have features behind paywalls that make things easier. Now, I pay for my FitnessPal, the premium subscription for that. I switched over to my FitnessPal when I started my business because my clients were going to likely need to use my FitnessPal in order to sync up with the software that I use to help coach them. And I needed to make sure that I was using the same tools that they were using so I was familiar with it, but also say, hey, I'm willing to invest in this just like I'm asking you to invest in this in your health. Another great tool is Chronometer, and it has really great features that are hidden behind paywalls as well. But you pay for those things for the same reason. You put your money where your mouth is. You put your skin in the game. So I subscribe to those plans in order to not only help the developers and to pay the developers so that they can continue to develop better features, But the other thing is that quite often those features that are hidden behind paywalls make my life easier. I'm all about identifying systems that are more difficult than they should be and finding ways to make those systems easier. One of those systems that really sometimes are complicated or difficult to get over is tracking your calorie and macronutrient intake. MyFitnessPal has a great feature with a great database that allows you to scan barcodes and it automatically populates your food intake and searches for things for you, which is really great, but it's hidden behind a paywall. So if you want to have just a regular free calorie counter, that's fine. You'll have to type in whatever you're searching for and hopefully you type in the right search terms and hopefully you can find it. Or you can have a one-click button that scans a barcode and tells you exactly what it is you're eating. I find that convenience to be something that simplifies the activity of tracking. So I pay for it. Another thing that people are going to probably want to pay for, especially as they get to a certain point in their health and fitness journey, is training plans and programs and other types of scheduling software. Now, you guys know that I have a coaching software that I use that I help my clients to schedule out their workouts, and I sell workout programs that help people to basically put a lot of their exercises and schedules on rails so they don't have to worry about what they're going to do next week or the next day or the next month. I personally pay for services for that for myself. I think it's a valuable expenditure because, again, you're investing in your health and fitness. And the group that I pay is called 80-20 Endurance because I mainly focus on being an endurance athlete. And so I pay them for a annual subscription to their training programs that allows me to map out the next year of my training as I prepare for different races and events into the future. Coming with that comes a software called Training Peaks, which is kind of my calendar training tool, which integrates with my Strava, which integrates with my Garmin tools, and actually will push my workouts directly to my watch and to my devices to help me have good, strong, structured workouts to help keep me on track in my fitness endeavors and efforts. Also, one last thing that I encourage people to pay for are things like supporting content creators. These are people that you're watching on YouTube. These are people you're listening to podcasts on or with. These are people who maybe are writing blogs or even providing other services for you. I personally have 3 or 4 people that I support through programs like Patreon, where I am a patron of them and I pay them. I get nothing out of it. The only thing I get out of it is making sure that I'm saying, hey, I really value the content that you're creating and I really want you to create more content. So I encourage that and I support them with that by just sending them a few bucks a month. And that is something that's been very valuable to me to feel like I have my hand in helping them to create more content that is actually providing value in my life. So I really like doing that. And I encourage people to find people to do that with. Now, a lot of people don't have the financial means to be able to do these things. But if you do, I strongly consider that you do them. It helps you feel like you're part of a community and it helps you to get more out of your content choices or your content that you're bringing into your very valuable and limited mind space. You know, you only have so many hours a day that you can intake information and process it and apply it to your life. So you might as well do it in a way that you can support others and support these content creators to produce content that's valuable to you. Frequently, they'll also give you a platform where you can request for certain topics to be addressed. And if you are a patron of them, you frequently can get those addressed through AMA or Ask Me Anything episodes or through different content mediums. So that's my little soapbox about supporting content creators as well as paying for services that make your life easier and invest in your health. With all that aside, that is one way that you can track your benchmarks and your fitness goals over time. You can check and see if you're getting faster or if you're getting slower, if you are maybe overtraining versus undertraining. A lot of things that you can do there. One of the cool things that I really enjoy doing are testing myself and my benchmarks and achievements through races. And I've already touched on races before. I even went through a couple of them and what my race progression was, but I thought I'd go back even further. But my very, very first race that I ever did as an adult was with my wife. And I trained for the Salt Lake City Half Marathon with Monica about 14 years ago. And this was a big deal for me. I was pretty out of shape. And I wouldn't say that I wasn't anywhere remotely in shape when I ran the half marathon. But it was something that I did with my wife to kind of keep me motivated. And I trained for the race. And it about killed me, the training. It was very hard. I had a lot of shin splint issues and knee pain and ankle pain. And I was not an athlete. But I went ahead with it and I did it. And I accomplished it. It took me about 3 hours for Monica and I to go across the finish line. She definitely could have gone faster. But she's an amazing woman and she stayed right with me. I didn't train as diligently as I should have. But I got a few good runs in and I accomplished it. I don't even know if I still have that medal somewhere. It's probably in a box somewhere. But that was the very first race that I did. And it was great. It was a lot of fun. And my cousins actually did it with us. They didn't do it with us, but they ran the same race. And we got to see them on the shuttle on the way to the start line. And it was a really great experience. And there's something about the energy of towing up to a starting line of a race and running with a whole group of people of various fitness levels. And doing something as a community, it's very empowering and fulfilling. So I recommend that to people who are considering it. Well, after that, I didn't run for a long time. I didn't do anything physical for a really long time. We moved to Ohio after I graduated college, and I worked as an engineer a couple different places. I bought a motorcycle. One thing led to another. I'm out of shape again, really out of shape. Well, I got this inspiration. I needed to sell one form of two-wheeled transport in favor of a different form of two-wheeled transport. And so I got a bicycle. And riding my bike and eating healthier and even starting to run, I started to enjoy that physical movement again. So I signed up for my second race. And that was the Cedar Point Sprint Triathlon. The Cedar Point Sprint Triathlon was ultimately canceled due to terrible weather right there on Lake Erie. And all we got to do was a 5K run, which was actually a great 5K run. I set a pretty good time for myself at that time, and I was very happy with it. But I have a medal for a triathlon that was really just a 5K. But that was my second race ever, and I really liked that. That said, I did not do any more races for a while. Actually, I didn't do any more races until last year. And so I went a long time without doing races, even though I did keep a focus on health and fitness for a little bit after that. It wasn't until I started losing weight this last time that I started strongly thinking about racing and setting goals in that manner as a way to measure myself or test my benchmarks. So I decided that I'm a guy who really likes to chase shiny things. I'm kind of like a raccoon, you know, likes the shiny bits and baubles. And some of those shiny bits and baubles that I enjoy are medals from these races. And so I decided I wanted to compete in a lot of different races that challenged myself and gave me something to show for it. So the first types of races or challenges that I signed up for was actually in response to some ads that I saw on social media. And you've probably seen them too. But these virtual races or challenges where I didn't need to toe the line with anybody, but I could do them by myself or I could do them with friends and family. Well, I decided to sign up for the Conqueror virtual race challenges, and I'm a big geek. And so the race series that I signed up for, a challenge series that I signed up for, was a Lord of the Rings challenge. And it's a series of five different challenges that virtually race you from the Shire all the way to Mount Doom, where you can destroy the One Ring. I know, little over-the-top nerd, but I really enjoyed it. And the medals are really beautiful, and they're really cool looking, and they're actually relatively challenging to get all five. You have to race roughly 1,800 miles between any type of movement pattern that you're enjoying, whether that be swimming or cycling or running or walking or cross-country skiing or whatever, to get all five medals. It was a really good motivator to get me going, and I really enjoyed it for probably the first 3.5 or so challenges. And after that, I actually found that I enjoyed the movement I was doing so much that it wasn't a motivator to keep going. I found that I was motivated just by the nature of doing the activity and was no longer being as motivated from the challenge, because all it was doing was recording my efforts I was doing anyway. But I went ahead and finished the challenge, and I got all 5 medals, and they're hanging on my wall in my bathroom, and I love them. I'm glad that I did it. But then I needed to extend myself even further. So one of the things I did was I signed up for another race, a real race this time. Again, with my wife, she's a really great supporter of me. You guys probably heard her on one of the previous podcasts, Monica. But she decided to sign up with me for the Halloween 5K, which is in October, and obviously around Halloween time. And it was just a 5K race along the Jordan River here in Utah. And that was awesome. I trained for it a lot better than I trained for the previous half marathon, you know, 14 years ago. And I was still quite heavy, but I finished in a good time that I was really proud of. And I loved running with a big group of people, and I loved running with my wife. I thought that was a really great way to get back into real racing. And I had this really big feeling of accomplishment as a result from that effort. Well, after signing up for that and doing that, I needed to stretch myself even further because I like the idea of progressive improvement. So I signed up for the Santa Fun Run. And the cool thing about this Santa Fun Run is it's a 10K, also along the Jordan River, out of Gardner Village in South Jordan, Utah. And every single participant dresses up as Santa Claus. And they provide you Santa suits and a beard and a hat, and you all run together on this this race course, and for the 10K, it was a double out and back course because you could do the 5K or the 10K, but again, progressive improvement. I already did a 5K, I wanted to do a 10K, and so I did the 10K, and it was a hoot, and it was awesome to see all these people who are dressed up in these goofy, terrible Santa outfits running these races, and again, that feeling of community and towing the line with people who have similar values and similar ambitions as you is a very empowering thing. So I really loved doing that and also moving up in distance. Well, I also started around that time cycling more. And I had actually gotten an e-bike to help with my commuting to and from work. But I got hit by a car a couple weeks into doing that, which kind of sidelined my desire to use it as a training tool because I didn't want to continue to expose myself to traffic. Luckily, I wasn't severely injured. I was able to keep training for my 5 and 10K through it. But I started by getting with the insurance settlement, I was actually able to purchase with some of it a bike trainer to put my road bike on inside the garage. And so I started doing indoor training. And one of the great things that you can do with these indoor trainers is race against people all over the world. And I use a software called Zwift, which is a type of video game that you play that syncs with your cycling smart trainer and your you know, Garmin and your heart rate monitors and things like that. And it measures your power, your cadence, your heart rate, your speed, all these different things combined with your physical stats like your height and weight and your gender and your age, and basically comes up with realistic power output numbers that determine how you perform within the game. And everybody else is using the same algorithms and using the same tools, and you can race people from all over the world. And I started racing weekly in that. And so typically I race on Wednesday or Thursday mornings. It's a really great way for cross training to continue to add exercise load to my legs as I prepare for some of my running races. And it's also just an insane amount of fun that's safe and healthy and allows me to play a little bit of video games, but in a way that makes me healthier instead of lazier. So I really enjoy that. And it's super convenient because I can do it right here in my own home in my garage. And we have a spin bike next to my bike so that Monica can do it and we can watch a TV show while I race or ride through some of these worlds as well. And she can continue to get some of her exercise as well in our home. So that's been a great thing too. Well, after all this, I signed up for the Run Salt Lake City race series in Salt Lake City. It's a progressive race series, a 5K, a 10K, and a 15K. My 15K is actually coming up this next Saturday, April 8th. And I'm grateful that the snow and the cold seem to be abating a little bit, that spring might be coming. So I'm hoping that that race goes well. It should. All the weather reports say it will, but fingers crossed. Anyway, it's a race series that increments. And the great thing about incrementing these distances motivates me to keep up my training and to keep pushing myself so that I can achieve more. Again, it's all about this continuous improvement and setting and beating previous benchmarks. The other great thing about the race series is I've already done a 5K and a 10K, and it allows me to pit myself against my previous times and to beat my previous benchmarks in a race environment, which I was able to do both for the 5 and the 10K. Also a very empowering and motivating thing. I also did the Icebreaker Sprint Triathlon a few weeks ago. Weather changes once again forced a change to the venue, and they canceled the bike portion because of icy roads, and then they swapped the swim and the run around, so it was actually a run swim, which was weird. But anyway, it was actually a lot of fun. The pool was crazy and hectic. I'd never been in the swimming race before, and it was wild, but I'm really glad I did it, and it was a lot of fun. Now, my big one that I have coming up for the first half of this year, is toward the very end in June, is called the Grand Quad race series in the Grand Tetons on Yellowstone, and it's by a venue called Vacation Races. They're a little bit expensive, but from what I understand, they actually really have, they have a great, they put on really great races, really well-produced events. So I'm really looking forward to that. And what it is a series of races, four races on two back-to-back weekends. And the races are back-to-back races as well. So it's a 5K and a half marathon on subsequent days on a paved trail in the Grand Tetons. And then the next week, it is a 5K and a half marathon on trails in Yellowstone. Once again, back-to-back. So it's kind of a, it's kind of a challenge where you're going to race a quick 5K the evening before you're going to race a half marathon. And I think it's a really great way to kind of test how strong your legs are and how your endurance is. So I plan on doing those. And if I accomplish and finish all four races, then I actually can say I completed the Grand Quad. This is my big achievement that I have focused for the first half of this year and what I've been building up to for the last several months. And it's going to really push myself. And it's also, importantly, going to introduce me to my first trail racing. So, all that aside, all this is leading up to my road to ultra training. And it's something that I've coined for myself as my journey into my big, scary, ambitious goals that I have for myself. There's this principle called Misogi. It's talked a lot about in a book called The Comfort Crisis, but it's actually a principle that's really old. And it's a Japanese concept. Basically, what a Misogi is it's a scary thing or a challenge that you're not confident you can accomplish that scares you, but something that you commit to anyway as a way of testing yourself and pushing yourself. And it's an ambitious goal that you set regardless of your confidence of whether or not you can accomplish it. For better outline or understanding of that principle or anything else related to it, I recommend you pick up a copy of that book, The Comfort Crisis. It's a great book, great read. It'll help you improve your life and to get out of your comfort zone a little bit to accomplish greater things with your life. Well, one of the things that I chose, the Misogi that I chose is actually coming up this next winter. And it's an ultra marathon race series called the Triple Crown of Moab, which is essentially the Dead Horse Ultra, which is a 50-kilometer trail race through Dead Horse Canyon in southern Utah. And then 2 months later, the Arches Ultra, which is a 50-mile trail race through Arches National Park. And then finishing with the Behind the Rocks Ultra, which is a 50-kilometer trail race through Moab. And I'm honestly not confident I can do them. I'm not confident I can finish all of them or if I'm going to come in under the cutoffs. But I'm going to give it a go. The first ultra marathon that I have, which is the Dead Horse Ultra, it's the 50-kilometer race, is on November 18th of this year. And so I'm increasing my mileage currently, my endurance, my strength, and so on, to be able to give myself a fighting chance of coming in under the time cutoffs. Now, I'm not super apprehensive about the Dead Horse Ultra with the 50 kilometers because I have a really long cutoff time. But if I don't do well enough in that race, there's not really a way that I can dramatically improve my race time for the Arches Ultra, which is a 50-mile race with not very much more time for the cutoff. And so I really had to push myself, and that's kind of why it's one of these goals that is ambitious enough that it scares me. I'm not 100% sure I can do it, but dang it if I'm not going to go for it. In preparation for this, I'm training with a very aggressive training program. I'm going to be running more than 1,500 miles throughout the year, and this is part of my road to ultra training plan. You've probably seen, or you will see, videos that are titled Road to Ultra videos on my social media platforms and YouTube. My aim is to make a longer format video and progressively longer and more content-filled videos of my Road to Ultra journey, mainly focusing or pivoting around my long runs each week to document my efforts, as well as to impart over time my triumphs and struggles all along the way, and to share things that I learn as I go throughout this process. Also, I invite you to email me or message me either on my videos or just directly through my email. Let me know if there are specific things that you'd like to see in these videos or in addition to them as I prepare myself for these races this year. I really want to provide content that's valuable. I don't want to create fluff pieces that don't provide value to anybody. So please let me know if there's things that you want me to address or things that you you maybe are finding that I'm not talking about that I probably have something to say so I can provide content and value as I make these videos on this Road to Ultra. Anyway, as an interim race along the way, I'm also going to be doing the Wasatch Trail Half Marathon in September up in Midway, Utah. It's up by Heber, just on the other side of the mountain from Park City. And that will be a good training race because I aim to be exceptionally faster than I was in Yellowstone on the trails as a way of testing to see what my improvements were over the summer and also my acclimation to heat along the way. Since my racing series, even though it's in November, depending on the weather, it can still be a really hot race as I race through Arches in November. Anyway, so all of these races that I'm lining out are to give myself progression and achievement. And I know I talked a lot about myself and about my goals for a couple of reasons. One is to kind of outline how this progressive overload or this progressive focus on accomplishing more and more and more physically, how that can work in your life, as well as to give you an idea of what you're probably going to be hearing me document over the next year. I encourage you to do similar things, to give yourself a plan of progression in physical achievements as a motivating tool to keep you moving and to keep you training and to keep you focused on being better tomorrow than you were today or being better next month than you were this month. I want you to push yourself farther with each one of these goals. Set goals that scare you or intimidate you. That can be a very motivating thing. One of the keys to my motivation is to beat my old benchmarks and achieve more every single time I go out and push myself. I do that in my biking, my cycling races. I do that in my training. You know, once a month, I try to beat my old benchmarks and make sure that my 5K and 10K times are progressively getting faster, that I'm able to go faster at a lower heart rate than I was the previous month. And these are all things that happen as I measure my efforts. So find a Misogi in your life as well. Find a challenge that scares you and commit to do it. Set stretch goals every month. Find a way to test yourself against previous benchmarks. Whatever method that is, whether that just be recording it in your Fitbit or in your Garmin or on Strava or on your MapMyRun, whatever tools you use, set these benchmarks and make a habit of reviewing those benchmarks and trying to beat them on a regular basis to improve your fitness and to help motivate you to continue to push yourself further and further. Find a way to seek out ongoing performance improvements. Also, very important with all of this is to start creating a support network and a group that supports you in your endeavors. They might even think you're a little crazy for some of the things that you want to do. That's okay. Let people know about what your goals and your ambitions are. You'll be surprised how many people come out of the woodwork to support you and to cheer you on. That's one of the great things. And also surround yourself with a community. That's why I love racing so much, is because it's an easy way to surround yourself with a bunch of people who want the same things as you do. People who are of various different fitness levels and achievements. I mean, I've some of these races I'm doing wildly different levels of physical preparedness for some of these races. And you'll find that you fit in regardless of where you're at in that process. And you have nothing but encouragement and a cheering section when you push yourself and give a solid effort in any of these events. And don't be afraid of failure. Failure is a tool that we can use to learn from. If we don't measure our successes and our failures, we have nothing to learn from. We have nothing to grow from. So don't be afraid to put yourself out there. Don't be afraid of failure. Be motivated by failure. Be motivated by success. All in all, push yourself. Find ways to continue to move forward. And then also to go back and revisit, put skin in the game. Make sure that the tools that you're using are tools that work for you, that make your life easier, that simplify your systems and make them more foolproof, right? And support people and programs and tools that you use on a regular basis, because that type of karma comes back. It comes back in the content that you're able to receive from these content creators and these tool providers. It comes back in the way of I honestly feel a galvanization and a cementing of your resolve to have a life that is focused on health and wellness. Put skin in the game. It makes a big difference in the way that you approach building lifestyle, a lifestyle of health and fitness, and having a focus on improving yourself on a regular basis. So anyway, that's the podcast I have for today. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I really hope that you guys go out there and challenge yourself and push yourself and continue to find success in that pushing and in that effort to improve yourself on a regular cadence, whether that be weekly or monthly or yearly. Go out there and give yourself a good stretch. And I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. I appreciate everybody who takes the time to listen to my ramblings, and I hope you guys were able to take some value out of some of the things that you heard today. If you have any comments or questions, again, feel free to email me at milesvictors@beatingthestatistics.com. Also, you can find me on all the major social media venues, and my username is BTS Health and Fitness. So you'll find me on YouTube, you'll find me on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook. So go ahead and find me there, subscribe, and as I create new content and small videos and other posts, you can follow along in my journey as well as in some of the counseling and advice that I can provide to my listeners. As always, know that consistency is the key to changing your life. The small things matter. If you're chopping down a redwood tree and all you have is a hatchet, know that it takes one small swing at a time to eventually chop that tree down. So keep on swinging. I'm in your corner. Develop a support network of people who are also in your corner, and you've got this. Thanks for listening.